All right, if you go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, we'll be in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and we will be reading the passage that I don't know if any of y'all know, the Great Commission passage, actually, but it is a very famous passage, so we'll just hope I can do it some justice. Of course, with the Lord's help I can, but not on my own. So, we're starting in verse 18. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray right quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to be able to open your word, Father, that we have the privilege to do that tonight. That you'd be with me is give me the words to say and the courage to be able to give this passage what you've laid on my heart, justice, Lord. Just that you would open hearts and just people would be willing to receive the messages tonight. And I ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. So, when it comes to the Great Commission, we see that of course, it's a very famous passage. Most people usually use it to preach missions. Me, I'm going to use it for a little more of a different kind of a twist to it. It's going to be more of a spreading the good news, the message of Calvary, which is what the good news is it's the fact that God died for us and he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. So as we see here, my purpose of this message is to tell what God commands you to do, which is tell everyone the good news. So when it comes to Calvary, God didn't have to do that. There was no point where somebody told him, said, you have to go die for those people. No. God decided he loved us enough that he did die for us. And I'm thankful that we serve a Savior that loved us enough to pay our sin debt. No. And that he didn't stay dead. Because if he had stayed dead, well, we would have no purpose of preaching tonight, me or Elijah Vance, neither one of us. Because there would be no point of Christianity, there'd be no point of even serving the Lord, no point of going to tell others, because, I mean, he would have been dead. So, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at a quick illustration. So we see that Winston Churchill, he was a prime minister of Great Britain during the time of World War II. He accomplished so much. He accomplished fame. You see a lot of wealth with him. He lived a long life. Me and Elijah looked it up, and he lived to be about 90 years old. And he was the highest active leader at that time. Of course, the Queen was higher than him, but he would have been the one who would have been making a lot of decisions and such. But even with all of his accomplishments, it wasn't enough for him. And this was known by his last words, which were, I'm bored with it all. We see his life was in vain without the purpose of glorifying God. And we realize that our life, through glorifying God, we have purpose. Our life's not in vain. We can get to walk down the street knowing, be happy, shiny, smiley, whatever you want to say. Knowing that we serve a great God and knowing that we're glorifying him in the way we live our life. But you contrast those with Jesus' words on earth before ascending to heaven. We know our purpose if we only follow them. Of course, this was what he had said was Jesus' commission was to go ye therefore. So the title of the message that I'm going to bring to you guys, I have two titles for this, actually. It is Spread the Word, or a country boy like me is Go Yonder. So we're going to do that. So I have just 3 points for you. We'll look at a couple of passages, and then that'll be my time. So we see, of course, in verse 18, we see the power that God gives to us directly. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, and we'll look in verse 10. We're going to see that same power. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when it comes to the power that God gives us, there will be not a thing that we can do. I can't be up here preaching God's word without his power. I can't go up and tell somebody who's lost the gospel without his power. In fact, we can't go into the world. We can't teach all nations, which is what God commanded the disciples and us to do. We can't do that without having his power first and foremost. We have to have that before we get anything else done. There's so many times in everyday life where we can't even do basic tasks without the Lord's help. Because I know when it comes to Ms. Dawn losing your dad, I'm sorry to hear that. Did not mean to kick that. But when I lost my Nana about 2 years ago, which is my grandfather's mom, it was really hard, and it was the Lord who got me through that, and the Lord's going to get Miss Dawn through that. But so we have another section of scripture we're going to turn to. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 is where we'll be there. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And it says, "And say unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." And it sure is sufficient for me, I can tell you that. "And for my strength is made thee perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So, of course, as I said, we see that the power is the number one thing that definitely helps us when it comes to living the life that God would have for us to live, glorifying him in the way that we would. So when the power that we get, that comes through salvation. That's when you realize, you fully understand that God's real, that he exists, that he loved you, died for you, and he paid your sin debt, and that he rose again. And then, of course, we'll go on to point number two, is go into the world. And in verse 19 it says, "Go ye therefore." You're not supposed to just sit there. We're not supposed to just sit here and think, "Oh, I have God, I have salvation. What else do I need to do?" Verse 19 commands us to go ye therefore. Of course, that's not all it says, but we'll get to that in a second. It says, "Go ye therefore." It doesn't say sit on your couches. It doesn't say sit in your pew. It says, "Go ye therefore." And you're like, "Well, Mr. Zach, look, I'm nervous. I mean, you know, what if somebody says something to me wrong?" You got the Lord on your side. You have all power given to you, but you have that through salvation. Because if it was that point, if the fact that we're nervous about what somebody might think of us or somebody might say to us, imagine if the Apostle Paul did that. Imagine how many churches we wouldn't have seen planted through the New Testament. Imagine how many souls would not have come to Christ if Paul said, "No, I'm scared." Moses in the Old Testament said he was scared, but he still set out to do what the Lord had him to do. Just how many people think about it, just like even with just the evangelist, Dr. Ron Comfort. He's the one that started the school that I go to. If he had not stepped out, if he said, "Lord, I'm scared, I'm what people might think," I wouldn't be going to Ambassador Baptist College. Pastor Vance and Mrs. Vance graduated from there. They wouldn't have went to Ambassador Baptist College because it wouldn't have existed. You can't let the fear of what other people will think about you, you can't let that determine whether what you're going to do for God or not. That's ridiculous. So we're going to take our Bibles right quick and go to Acts 1:8. We're going to look more into this. This is also a very familiar passage when it comes to the talking about missions or dealing with the Great Commission. It says, "But ye shall receive power." Of course, we see that word power again. We see that word power quite a bit in a lot of these verses that deal with that. And it says, "After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you," talking about salvation, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice it doesn't exclude anybody either. It doesn't say, hey, you can't be saved because you're a Jew. You can't be saved because of this. You can't be saved because of that. The Lord doesn't put limitations on who can be saved. That's why I don't understand Calvinism. It makes no sense to me. You're trying to tell me you're elect? Prove that to me through the Scriptures and then we can talk. So, and then we'll take our Bibles to Mark 16:15. And it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Says, as is again, says to every creature. Doesn't say, hey, preach to everybody except that one man that you see at your grocery store. You're supposed to tell everybody. And just the whole, yeah. But we are supposed to tell everybody. We're supposed to go. And of course, that brings me to my third point. We're supposed to teach all nations. If you'll turn back, if you're still there, back to the Great Commission passage, Matthew 28. Says, teach all nations. And teach all nations. Of course, you have the power that God gives you. You go. And then you teach all nations. But you're supposed to teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to go out in the Father's name. You're not supposed to try and go out on through your own works. Elijah touched on this in Sunday school this morning where he said, we can never do enough good to outweigh the bad. That's why Christ had to die for us. Because Christ was the only one who could pay the sin debt that we needed to have paid. So, and then we're going to go to just two more passages. I apologize for making y'all turn so much, but this is just how the Lord laid this message out to me. We're going to turn to Romans 1 and verse 16 is where we'll be there. And in verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." If you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, can you really call yourself a Christian? Because if you want to say, that goes back to the point where I brought up fear earlier. You're like, I'm scared. This is God's book. These are God's words. God doesn't make mistakes. If somebody don't like what the Lord said, that's on them. That's not on you, nor is that on the Lord. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Once again, still includes everybody. I know I keep bringing up Calvinism, but I really don't understand it. To me, it don't make a lick of sense. You're going to try and sit there and tell somebody you have to be elect to make it to heaven. That cuts out so many people that the Lord could touch. And that's ridiculous to me. And then we're going to go to a very familiar book of the Bible, very familiar section of Scripture, John 3:16. Says, of course, "For God so loved the world." Y'all are reading that, right? "For God so loved the world." The emphasis on that we can teach to everybody. We can go anywhere. Yeah, there are going to be times where you're like, well, we can't go anywhere. Yeah, you can. There's going to be times where you're going to be persecuted. There'll be times where you might even have to die for the Lord. But would you be willing to do that? Because the Lord was willing to die for you. I think we should ought to be willing to die for Him if He died for us so much that He loved us. It says that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, Calvinism will tell you it's an elect. My Bible says is a whosoever. I like being able to preach a message that's a whosoever will message, not a if your parents were saved. But, you know, it is what it is. So, and then I'll finish off with this. My last three conclusion points is, do you believe that God gives us the power to tell others? And I don't mean you just sit there and go, yeah, I believe that. Do you truly believe it? Do you truly believe that you can walk up to somebody at your grocery store, just walking down the street, and be able to tell them about Christ through the power that He's given you? Because it's one thing to say, sit here in a pew and say, yeah, I believe that. It's another thing to put it to action. And then it says, are you going into the world? Are you actually getting up to go tell others? And tell all nations. So are you being one who's going to go, I want to be a soul winner for Christ? Well, that involves getting up and going. I've prayed that prayer before. And you're probably thinking, well, you're being a little harsh. I'm preaching to myself here. I'm not just preaching to y'all. I think I've led two people to the Lord, knowing that I probably could have led a lot more if I had listened to the Lord. Knowing that there could be, the reason why I'm being as hard as I am is because we don't tell people. There's people that are going to go to hell because we don't tell them about the story. That the great, not only just is it just a story, it's a real story, but it's also the greatest story ever told. The fact that Christ went through what He did, He went taking the lashes of the whip that had the glass shards in it. He took the crown of thorns. They mocked Him. They spit on Him. So I apologize if I'm a little irritated that we're not telling people about the gospel. I'm a little irritated myself that I don't do it either. So just, we got to get up and tell people. We got to live the life of Christians that we should. And then my last question before I pray and turn it over to Elijah is, will you have a life that glorifies God? Or will you end up having to say, like Winston Churchill, that you were bored with it all? So are you going to live a life where you live for what God tells you, where you go actively go out and tell others about Christ? You live for Him every day. Or are you just going to sit there and go, there's no point. Live a life that's miserable. Live a life in vanity. And eventually just have to say, I'm bored with it all. So we're going to pray, and I'll turn it over to Elijah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the message, Lord, just the words that You were able to give me, Lord. I pray that we would actively follow You in everyday life, that we would realize the power that we do have within ourselves to tell others about You. That we would go into the world and actively tell everyone. We wouldn't just discriminate because of someone's skin color or someone's gender or whatever, that we would tell others about Christ. That we would tell them the greatest story ever told. That we would live a life that would honor You, and that we would not live a life to where it's all in vanity. Lord, I ask that You be with Elijah as he brings his message. Open our hearts. And I ask all these things in Your precious name. Amen.
Appreciate that challenge from Zach. If you go with me to John, the book of John, chapter 14. And this message really has to deal with the message that we're supposed to share. We're supposed to be going out, and this is what we're supposed to be telling. So John 14, and if you'll look with me in verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is where we'll take our primary point today. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the challenge that's already been brought tonight. Thank you for Lord Zach's just fearless approach. And Lord, telling us what we need to hear, I pray that you would help us to be bolder witnesses. Lord, I pray now that as I deliver the message that you've given to me, Lord, that you would open our hearts. And I pray for those here who might not know you as their Savior, Lord, that they would open their hearts to you. Lord, I pray that we would all be drawn closer through what you have for us tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, our topic really is pursuing. What things are you pursuing? You know, every single one of us has a pursuit. We have something that we are going after. If you're an industrious person, maybe you're pursuing a career. And if you're a lazy person, maybe you're pursuing a seat on the couch, bag of chips. But we're all pursuing something. We all want something in life. There's something each of us are going after. And in this verse, John 14:6, we see really three pursuits that people make. The pursuit of the way, the pursuit of truth, and the pursuit of life. But the title for this message tonight is Three Pursuits to One Person. See, those three pursuits, those three things that people look for, all end in one person, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, Jesus and his disciples are finishing the Last Supper, the last meal that they're going to share together. And Jesus begins telling them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross to die for you and to make a place for you with me forever. But the disciples are a little bit confused by this because he says, where I'm going, you know, and you know the way there as well. And Thomas says, I don't know the way. Lord, we don't know. We don't know the way, and we don't know where you're going. And then Jesus gives the answer to Thomas. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus, in answer to Thomas' question, first describes himself as the way. The way. That's singular and that's specific. That means there may be other ways that people claim, but only one correct way. Other people may claim ways, but if it's the way, it's only one. There's only one way to God. But what is this way? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. It looks good, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we all want our own way. We all see a way that looks attractive to us. But there's only one way to God. There's only one way to Him. In fact, Psalm 55:5 says, Behold, I was formed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not only do we choose this way, we're born into this wrong way. We're not born on the path to God. We're born on the path directly opposite, away from God. But what is this wrong way? It's any way that it leads apart from God, that is the wrong way. Anything that leads us away from Him. Matthew 7:13-14 says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, narrow is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said that He is the way. The way to Jesus, the way to God is the way away from sin, away from unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is the way. But so often, we want our own way. Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." You see, we don't choose the wrong way on purpose most of the time. Many times we just choose what seems right to us, but we don't know what's right. We don't, but God knows what's right because He is right. Many times we just want to continue on our own way because it's easier. We hate to admit when we're wrong. If you use Google Maps and you've ever made a wrong turn, you can identify with that. You have several options when you make a wrong turn and that Garmin starts to speak at you. You can either mute it, you can either follow the directions it says, or you can try to get back on the right way without turning around. You know what? Only one of those ways works. That's admitting you are wrong and getting back on the right path. There's only one way to God, and that's admitting that He's right, we're wrong, and that we have to follow the way He prescribes. There was a prophet in the Old Testament named Balaam. You know him. God's instructions to him couldn't have been any more clear. He said, "You'll go and prophesy to this king, but only prophesy the words that I give you." And yet, he went just as far as the opposite as he could. He rebelled as much as God would let him, and he was only saved by his donkey's common sense. Now, that's pretty sad when an animal has more sense than you. But many times, that's the way we are when we try to go our own way. I was thinking, there's quite a few Southerners here, a few Yankees. There's different ways of life in the North and the South. We eat differently. We talk differently. We have different weather. You know, there's a lot of different ways of life in this country, around the world. But there's different ways of life, but there's only one way to life. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's the way to eternal life. So how do we find that right way? We look for it, we're wondering, we're searching, how do we find that way? Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Ask. Ask God, not man, not the world. They're just as lost as you might be tonight. They're searching just as much as you might be. But God knows the way because He is the way, and so ask Him. Psalm 143:8 says, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." I'm begging you. For a Christian, the way is the path of obedience. If you're not saved tonight, the way is Jesus Christ and salvation. Jesus is the way. Jesus is also the truth. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines truth as the property of being in accord with fact or reality. The fact is, Jesus is truth in the fact that He exists. He always has and He always will. He lives forever. But God's Word is truth. Because His Word is true, He is also true. Psalm 119:160 says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning. From before time, God is true. And every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Proverbs 35, "Every word of God is pure." Every single word. You know, if you've gotten what you believe from the Bible, you can trust it because every single word of God is true. But if you've taken Scripture and put your own twist on it, or if you've allowed others to misinterpret it for you, that's dangerous. The story, it's a fictional story, is told. One day the devil was walking along a road with one of his demons. And ahead of him there was a man walking down a path, and he picked up something shiny off the ground. And this demon asked Satan, "What did he just pick up?" And he said, "That was a piece of the truth." And he said, "Well, aren't you going to take it from him? We don't want them to know the truth." And he said, "No, I'll let him have it. In fact, I'll let him make a religion out of it." And that's the fact of many cults and religions. They'll take a piece of God's truth, just enough to make it enough to swallow, but then they'll twist everything else. the most dangerous truth is often that which is mixed with error. But if you get what you believe from the Word of God, you'll be just fine because God is truth. There's a big debate today if there is absolute truth, if there is really something that we can just set and stake our lives on. You know, there are absolute truths. If you're married, you know your wife or your husband's birthday. If you forget that, that absolute truth is going to be painful. You're going to feel that. There's absolute truth it's in a game, sports game, and your team has the game-winning shot. They either miss or they make that shot. You know, that's absolute truth. The person who takes the ball and drives to the basket, he's either going to make it or he's going to miss it. That's absolute truth. The crown jewels in England, they're kept in the Tower of London. You know, if those jewels are there, then they can't be anywhere else. If they're in that tower under guard, they can't be anywhere else. Any other is counterfeit. And just as Jesus said that he is the truth, any other that claims to be the truth that's in opposition to Jesus is also counterfeit. It's also a fake. There is absolute truth because God is absolute. And the most important truth to know tonight is that Jesus saves. That Jesus died for every one of us here, for each individual. He's the way to God. He's the truth of God because He is God. He's also the life. People are obsessed with having a good life, aren't we? We want to be happy in life. We want to have a good life. Some people spend their lives in charitable causes. They try to do as much good for people in hopes that that will make them happy. Some people try to follow a super strict diet so they can live as long as possible and hope that'll make them happy, give them a fulfilling life. Some people are like the prodigal son who take what they have and go to the far country and just live it up while they can and waste their lives. But none of those things will help in the eternal aspect. None of those things give eternal life. In fact, some of those shorten your life. But Jesus is the life each of us are pursuing. Whether you know it or not, Jesus holds the answer. In the ancient days of exploration, even before that, in the days of the Greeks, there were people, explorers, who were fascinated with the fountain of youth. If you could only find that fountain, those waters, if you drank them, would give you eternal life on this earth, give you perpetual youth. But you know what? People tried for hundreds and hundreds of years to try to find that. And guess what? No one ever found it. No one ever got that eternal life. And ironically, the people who pursued after it the most went through so many hazards and perils that their lives ended up far shorter. You see, we can't attain eternal life by ourselves. Eternal life is only possible in Jesus Christ. There is a fountain of youth. Not a myth, not a legend. It's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one we're looking for. Only He can grant a full, happy life on this earth, no matter how long. You can have a full and happy life if you're serving God, no matter how long it is. Only He can give that, and then eternal life in heaven. Jesus was traveling through the region of Samaria one day, and He stopped at Jacob's well. And there He met a very immoral woman, a woman who had lived all her life as a sinner, and everybody knew it. And Jesus came to her and asked her for a drink of water. But she was shocked by this because Jews didn't talk with strangers like her, just outcasts. Jews didn't talk with people like her, and men didn't talk with women like her. But He said, "Give me a drink of water." And she said, "How is it that you, a Jew, are asking of me a drink of water? Why don't you think that's dirty? Why are you asking me that? Why aren't you getting it yourself? Why are you even caring to talk to me?" But Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is, if you knew who you were talking with that says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of Him, and He would have given you living water, eternal life, eternal water." She was confused by that, and she said, well, give me this water that I'll never thirst again. She was thinking physically, but Jesus was talking spiritually. He said in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water in this well, physical water, will thirst again. But get this, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him at salvation shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, Jesus Christ is that fountain of youth. It's not a myth. It's not a story that's made up. Jesus Christ is that person who can grant eternal life. But it's only found in trusting in him. Jesus is the life. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're here and you're a believer, have you been turned aside from following Jesus? Have other things become more appealing? Then look to Jesus again, and he can turn you back onto the right way. If you've been swayed by the doctrines of men, men's truth, which is really not truth at all because it's not founded in God, then turn to Jesus and he can show you that firm foundation of his word. And if you're living apart from God, a life with no peace, Jesus Christ can give you that life again. He can give you that enjoyment that you once had in him. But lost sinner, Jesus is the way. He's the way that you've been looking for happiness and peace and contentment for all your life. He's standing there offering it. He's the one who can bring you direction. He's the truth. And if you believe in him, Jesus is your life. He's your eternal life. Jesus in these verses is about to go to a cross to die for every single one of us here, to give his life in the most loving act anybody has ever performed. By being the true Savior and dying and rising again, his salvation is true. By going the way to the cross, he made the way for us. And by giving his life, he offers each of us eternal life. His death brings each of us the opportunity to have eternal life. But is he your way? Is he your truth? Is he your life? Have you made that decision to accept Jesus as your Savior? As some have said, to give all you have to the Lord and take all that he is. To give up trying to find the way on your own and just admit and accept that it's found in Jesus Christ. He offers you a full life, a wonderful life. The truth is Jesus saves, and the truth is he wants to save you. But will you accept that? That he died on the cross, that he loved you so much that he did that, and that if you'll only believe in him, that he will save you. These three pursuits end in one person. We want the best way, we want the truth, and we want life. But any pursuit apart from God can only end in disaster. And so, Christian, are you living in the reality of this? And lost one, will you accept this? Will you accept Jesus as your Savior? There's three pursuits, but they all end in one person, and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, that there is everything we need found in you. Lord, certainly there are those here who are searching for that. Lord, they know what it is to live their life, no matter how short or long it may be, apart from you, Lord, just to be miserable. Anything they try to do just seems to fall apart and seems to have no purpose in the end. Lord, but you offer everything. You offer truth. You offer life. You offer the way of salvation. Lord, I pray for any here who might not have received you, that they would accept you tonight, that they would stop struggling to find the way on their own, and Lord, that they would accept that you are the way. And for us as Christians, I pray, Lord, that you would turn our focus to you, Help us to live in light of these truths that we have considered. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. Thank you for the challenge, men, tonight from God's Word. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, God has spoken to my heart and I realize that I've never personally received Jesus Christ? I don't know Him as the way, the truth, and the life. But tonight I want to make that a reality in my life. Is there anyone by lifted hand? You'd raise your hand and say, yes, preacher, that's the decision I'm making tonight. As best as I know how, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ right here and right now. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? Anyone? All right, thank you. You can put your hand down. As a Christian, Jesus said this. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zach challenged us basically about seeking souls. And the fact is, if we're seeking Jesus, we can only do that as we're also seeking souls, because He's seeking souls. And if we're going after Him, we'll do it going after souls. Are you, as a Christian, being an obedient witness? Are you going and telling others about Jesus? And are you seeking the Lord as the way, the truth, and the life? Father, I pray that You would take these truths, these challenges that we've been given tonight, help us to act on them in faith and obedience. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn.